riding down the canyon to watch the sun go down. A picture that no artist ever could paint. White-faced cattle lowing on the mountainside. I hear a coyote whining for its mate.
Rattlesnake. Summer 1922 is the same as the ones before. Once again, my mother, sisters, and I were relegated to the hot, barren sagebrush homestead where the sweltering sun beat down with no pity on us, making our skin as brown as a few Navajo Indians who made occasional treks to town. We had several scraggly cedar trees for a tiny bit of shade my parents had planted the summer I was born. We took care of the sheep and stock, while Pa stayed in town 10 days at a time haying and helping Grandfather Barney. But this night, he was home with us. We kids slept on the floor. One evening I was restless, couldn't sleep long after Father and Mother was snoring. Something seemed wrong. But what? In a flash I realized what was bothering me. Something was moving under the floorboards of the house. I could hear a rustle among the constant stir of the numerous locusts that cohabitated with us. My heart jumped to my throat as I sat straight up in fright. "Sounds like a rattlesnake," I thought. My movements woke Lottie. "Is something wrong?" she asked. "Shh," I whispered. "Listen." There's a faint rattle. The sound of something large moving. And then silence. Except for the locusts. "Do you think it's a rattler?" Lottie said, grabbing hold of my hand. "I think so, yeah. Sounds like it's under the floor," I said. "Can it get through the cracks in the floor?" Lottie asked, her voice trembling with alarm. "I don't think so. It's probably too big," I answered. "I can't understand why it would be moving at night unless a mouse has disturbed it. Lay down and go back to sleep. I'll stay awake. If I need to, I'll wake up Father." "You always take such good care of me," Lottie said, and she snuggled into the lumpy quilts Mother had made from scraps of cloth and worn-out overalls. It seemed as if the dark, moonless night was endless as I lay, listening, but hearing nothing more until I fell into a restless sleep towards morning. I love waking up in the morning to the smell of a fresh slab of side pork, eggs, and potatoes frying in pools of pig fat, I thought, as my stomach growled in agreement. After breakfast, I said warily, "Father, we think we heard a rattlesnake under the house last night." Lottie's soft, blonde, flyaway hair glistened in the sunlight as she timidly nodded in agreement, but she stood in the doorway to make an escape if Father got upset because we were holding him up. "Snake, Pa! Snake!" Loreen piped in. "Scare me!" "Afton, I told you yesterday I thought I heard a rattler close to the stove under the house when I was cooking supper," Mother said, as she wiped the sweat from her brow. Beads of sweat dropped off her like large raindrops from the heat. "It's just locusts," Father said. "Nothing to worry about," as he picked up Loreen and threw her in the air to make her giggle, and then sat her down. "I go with you," Loreen demanded. "I stay Grandma's." "Not this time. She's got enough wild Indians running around without adding you to the lot," Father said, running his rough hand across her cheek. We'd all like to go to town, I thought, as I longed to spend time with my friends and uncles. My tiny new baby sister Merle let out a wail to be picked up from the almost hidden place she was laying on an unmade rumpled bed. Mother wiped her hands on her apron, picked up Merle, and followed Father to the wooden rack wagon. I helped Father hitch the horses earlier. "He don't believe us," Lottie said quietly, as she walked dejectedly toward the wash basin and pulled her braids out of her hair to make new ones. "You're so pretty," I said, changing the subject. I stood for a moment, taking in her fragile bone structure and angelic face. "You're pretty inside and out. You help Mother so much with the kids, I don't know what she'd do without you." "Me pretty," Loreen said as she ran and climbed into the rickety chair, looked in the old faded mirror, and smiled at the dim reflection of her blonde short hair, running her fingers through it. "Me pretty, too." "You're pretty, too," I agreed, smiling at her. "What if Father don't come back tonight and Snake does?" Lottie asked, her face white with fear. Tiny tears filled her sad brown eyes. "I'll kill it. You know your big brother always takes care of you," I said as I put my arm around her, shaking shoulders. "It's probably just locusts, like Father said," trying to reassure both her and me, as I folded and stacked quilts and placed them in the corner. "Put a quilt out in the yard for Merle to lay on so I can see her while I milk," Mother said as she entered the kitchen. "I need to get it done while you do the dishes, Lottie. And get the wood in, Orion, before you and Lottie head out with the sheep." Minutes later, I heard Mother scream in panic, "The snake's gonna bite Merle!" My heart raced faster than my legs as I ran toward the place the quilt lay on the dusty desert soil. Merle was there, kicking and cooing fearlessly, almost playing with the deadly intruder. It was only seconds, but it seemed like hours before Mother was able to pluck Merle from harm's way of the coiled, venomous rattlesnake, with its stark white fangs hovering ready to puncture Merle's diaper-clad bare leg. "Get back!" Mother warned, her voice shrill. The girls huddled around her, bawling in terror for comfort and protection. "The gun's in the house," I said. "I'll fetch it." I just began to run towards our shelter when the large western diamondback pit viper slithered silently toward the same door I was going in. I stopped in my tracks. Stood like a large frozen icicle as a chill ran down my back, watching as it vanished through a crevice under the floor of the shack. "We can't go back in there," Mother shrieked. "It's too dangerous. We don't know where that thing might be." "Pray," Lottie cried. "Pray for someone to help us." "Sure," I thought. "Who's going to help us out here in no man's land?" "Father come back?" Lorene asked, innocently. "I'll get the pitchfork and shovel," I said. "If the snake comes out, at least we'll have something to fight it with." It wasn't too long until an angel in the form of a neighbor from the ranch above us rode into our yard. "What's all the commotion about?" John Hamilton asked as he slid off his panting brown horse, throwing the reins around the hitching post. "You are a godsend," Mother said, sighing at the same time in relief. "There's a rattler under the house." "It almost bit Merle," Lottie whispered. "It's a big one," I said, as relief washed over me that my sister had not been bitten by the fangs of the large, slithering snake. Mr. Hamilton grabbed the pitchfork from my hand and ran toward the house. "It might be close to the stove," Mother yelled as she watched him slide the pitchfork under the shack. And then he laid down flat on his belly and followed the snake into the dark recesses of its ominous den. "What if it bites him?" Lottie worried out loud. "It won't," Mother reassured. "I'll bet he's killed more rattlers than I've seen." Time seemed to stop as we listened from a safe distance to Mr. Hamilton crawling and panting as he lunged the pitchfork at the coiled rattlesnake several times before a final blow of the prongs met the soft flesh of the venomous foe and rendered it lifeless. "Big one," Mr. Hamilton said, as he held the snake above Lottie's head with its tail hitting the ground. "It's about your size." "How many rattles?" I asked as Mr. Hamilton laid it on the ground. 9. Count them." "Can I have them?" I asked. "It's your snake," Mr. Hamilton laughed, in what appeared to be relief for his safety as much as ours. "I'll cut off the head and bury it. We don't want those poisonous fangs near you, even if it's dead." "Thank you, John," Mother said. "Could I get you a cup of coffee or a late breakfast before you leave?" "No, Lily," John answered. "You were lucky the wind was blowing toward my place. Otherwise, I might not have heard you." That night, Lottie and I lay sleepily on the top of the dusty quilts as the day's heat began to seep out of the open door and cracks of the shack. I listened to the locusts rubbing their back legs together as Lottie reached over and patted my arm. "Do you think Jesus brought Mr. Hamilton to us?" she whispered. "I was praying the whole time." "There was nobody else could have helped us," I said. "I'd have had to ride into town to get help. That would have taken a while." "Maybe we should thank him," Lottie said. "Grandmother Barney always thanks him in her prayers." Holding hands, we whispered our thanks quietly, as only a 5- and 7-year-old know how. A few days later, my curiosity got the best of me. I dug up that viper and looked at its venomous fangs. After I examined them, I poked my shovel at the body a few times. And then, shivering at the dreadful memory, I dug a much deeper hole and covered it back up.
I tell you folks, it's heaven just to ride off down the trail when the desert sun goes.